Would you open your Bibles to 1 John? Every time I get to this particular section of Scripture, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, I mean, you get in the Johns there. These are short little books canonized years ago into our Bible, and yet the words are so incredible. Last week, we stumbled perhaps over the interesting command of God, simply that we love one another. And just by trying to grab a hold of this simple biblical concept, love one another. What would it even mean to love somebody? And what would it look like in an ongoing way for the body of Christ to be loving one another? Wow. We almost can't develop that too much. We cannot exhaust the concept. Because God is love, and He is inexhaustible. And what I've also noticed is the need for love seems to almost be inexhaustible. We are those that need love. And not just to be super spiritual and say, well, I need God's love. Of course, I need God's love. I mean, we need the love of one another. Because nothing seems to throw us into depression is when we don't feel loved. Whatever the absence of love is, it's not always hate. It doesn't necessarily mean that somebody hates you. But to not be loved means to almost not exist, doesn't it? Pay very close attention to these opening verses of chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know Him. Dear friends, we are already God's children. But He has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like Him. For we will see Him as He really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as He is pure. Do you have an eager expectation about seeing Jesus Christ? I mean, can we even really get our heads around the idea that I'm going to be with Him? Yes, the world's broken. Yes, there's fallen problems. Yes, there's all kinds of screwed up messes out here. But that's not who I am. Who am I? According to the text, I'm a child of God. Just say that with me. I am a child of God. Now, we did the book of Hebrews, and I told you with the book of Hebrews, to try and simplify, that it's about our identity as being not just regular lay people, but that we are a priesthood. And that even as Jesus is the high priest, we have from Him a commission, do we not? To love others. And now we add to that, here in 1 John, more of our identity. Say it again. I am a child of God. True or false? So let me lead you in a confession. A lot of churches are known for confessional statements. Confession is not only going to the priest and confessing your sin. The Bible says confess your sins one to the other that you might be forgiven. How many forgiven in the church? All right. If you're sitting there feeling unforgiven, please come see me later. Because I would like to, on behalf of God Almighty, forgive you of whatever it is you think you're not forgiven for. But if you'll stare beyond me and look at that cross for a minute, He paid for whatever you need forgiveness for on that cross. Amen. True or false?
Amen.
All right. So we don't have to get embroiled in religious or doctrinal disputes. Jesus Christ died for us. So we have a confession. Here is a quickly written, scribbled on this yellow paper, here's a quickly written confession. Please repeat after me. I am not lost. I am found. I'm not evil. I am righteous. I'm not broken. I am healed. I am not a loser. I'm a victor. I'm not confused. I have the mind of Christ. I am not in bondage. I am free. I am not sick. I am well. I am not of this world. Although I'm in this world. I am not a gossip. I am in control of my tongue. I am not a backbiter. I am an encourager. I am not an idolater. I am a worshiper of God. We continue now from a list in Galatians. I am not impure. I am pure. I am not hostile. I am friendly. I am not jealous. I am giving to others. I am not angry. I am satisfied. I'm not selfish. I am selfless. I am not causing division. I am bringing unity. I am not a drunk. I am moderate in all things. I am not out of control. I am led by God's Spirit at all times. I only got that far. Perhaps you could write a confession. As a member of the priesthood, perhaps you could go this afternoon as homework and write a confession. And you could not just do the I am nots, you could do the I ams. Who is the I am in our life?
Jesus Christ.
Right. And trying to say who he was. He didn't even know how is God Almighty to convey to somebody who he is. He says, I am that I am. So, which are you? What is our identity? How many voices have told us all of the things that we're saying we're not? And yet, Kay, we have voices all around that speak to us or emote to us or relate to us as if we're some of these things. We need to take a stand with the Lord Jesus. I'm not one of those.
Amen.
I'm saved, healed, and delivered by Jesus Christ. And if you say amen, it means so be it. Let it be. I affirm it. Verse 4, everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all know that sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. So this creates all kinds of counseling session dilemmas. Which am I? Who am I? Am I a sinner? Am I not a sinner? Am I righteous or am I not righteous? And all kinds of times we perhaps err when we say to folks something like, you're just a sinner saved by grace. What a worm you are. I'm saying, oh, wait a minute. That isn't the Jesus Christ I know. He doesn't call me a worm. He calls me a son. He doesn't even look at me any longer with any of the impurities that perhaps would have been seen had he not shed his blood for me. What kind of religion do you have, people? Is it a faith that you're just a worm and you're just a sinner, and if you live long enough and do hard enough and work well enough and perform enough and give enough to the church and attend enough meetings that somehow you might get saved? Is that the faith system you want?
No.
Of course not. How do we develop within our own soul some confidence that God Almighty now lives here? We said earlier, love one another. Folks, look, let me give you a clue here. You cannot love one another without love.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So you can't give what you don't have. Sometimes in ministry, I get called upon to do things, to give things that I don't have. Somebody will ask for me to be prophetic. I'm not a prophet. Some will say, well, Pastor, you ought to fill in the blank. Wait a minute. Church, the only things you can give is what you have. And if you don't know what you have in Christ, then I recommend the Bible. Read the thing. Find out what God wants to pour upon you. Now, the least of those is not Colossians 1:27. That's perhaps the greatest. Christ in you, the hope of
glory.
Test time. What does the word glory mean?
Manifestation.
Christ in you, the confidence that He will manifest through you. When you walk in His Spirit and just do what He calls you to do. Sin or saint? I choose saint. All right? Evil or righteous? I choose righteous. Now, someone is going to bring up our freedom to sin. True or false?
Yeah.
Okay, so we are free. We now have the ability, the capacity to get up and go do dumb things to again miss the mark, don't we? Huh? We can choose to miss the mark of God. I choose not to. How's that? I choose every day I get up, I ask for God's help. Lord, I want to get through this day honoring you. I'm not a loser. I'm a victor. I'm not confused about everything. I have the mind of Christ. Do you see where confession comes in? Someone might be thinking, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Okay? Who does? Who knows what to do? God knows what to do. Let me just give you a tip. If you don't know what to do, don't do something. Are you with me? If the clarity hasn't come about a decision that you're making, don't do anything. It's not hard to not do some things. Especially if you're concerned about whether that thing might be sin or not. I am a child of God. Say it again. I am a child of God. Wow. Let's go out of here today believing that. I can love one another because Christ dwells in me. Verse 7. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. When people keep on sinning, it shows they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers, oops, does not belong to God. Verse 11. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. I love it when God's book talks about beginnings. What is the beginning of God's book? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. In the beginning what? In the beginning, God. Forget everything else for a minute. In the beginning, God. Now, what is the other name we could substitute for God? Love. In the beginning, love. And what did love do? Read the book. In the beginning, love did these things. Love created. Love figured out how to do whatever love wanted to do. In fact, love can take out of nothing and become something. Catch this if you can. Let's say you got aught against somebody. Let's say you're sideways with something. And, you know, the church people say, well, you should just love them. Just love them. And you're saying, I can't love them. They tick me off. I can't love them. They offended me. I can't love them. Every time I see them, it brings up what I don't love about them. Any hands in the air? Anybody identifying with chew leather? Huh? I want to love, but I'm conflicted. Isn't it interesting? I bring this up, you all go absolutely bizarre in your minds, huh? In the beginning, love. Everything that God did after verse 1 was because of love. Do you sometimes read about what God did and try to figure out how is that love? How is this love, what you've done here, God? How is this love? How was it love that you took my life and reordered the events of my life? How was it loving that I had to go through what I had to go through? Anybody going through anything? You got stuff in your life, you haven't figured out why it is. Is God in charge or not? It all, listen, this isn't rocket science. This is simple stuff. God loves you. Amen. And everything, in everything, God is love. And we have the ability to let love reign in our hearts. Yes. I've had it happen in my own family where I call upon God, give me love. Bind my tongue. Don't let me say what I'm thinking. Huh? Don't let me tell that kid what I'm thinking right now. Right? But give me love. And if he doesn't give you love, at least give you silence. This is the message you've heard from the beginning, from Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. Why did he kill him? Well, because Cain had been doing what was evil and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. If we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Is that how your book reads a little bit? Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought also to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and He knows everything. Now that's my verse 20 in the New Living. Can I hear it, verse 20 in another translation? Who's got a different translation? Someone who's... Okay, Sally?
NIV. Whenever our hearts condemn us... I have to back up. 19. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything.
Okay. Any other translation? Whenever our hearts condemn us. That's real Bible talk right there. That's kind of religious ease. Whenever our hearts condemn us. What does that mean? It means when you feel bad.
Yeah, it's the conscience.
That's why I like the other translation. When you feel guilty about something.
Yeah.
No matter how you feel, God is still love.
Amen.
People, wake up. Let's not just be ruled by our feelings. I've got all kinds of feelings about all kinds of things. In fact, to follow on what Kay said earlier about her opinions, I've told you this before, I've got opinions about a lot of stuff. In fact, I've got opinions that even I don't agree with.
Amen.
Because I find myself getting all, you know, ask me a question, oh, well, I'll pontificate.
Yeah.
And then I go home and think, what?
Yeah.
What came out of this?
Yeah.
Thing, I think I understand it. If you have guilt over something that you've already confessed and done business with, that's the devil taking away your joy.
Amen.
If you have guilt for something that you haven't fixed yet, that's the Holy Ghost telling you what to do next.
Right.
Are you saved or are you lost?
Saved.
That would mean that if you have been a murderer in your past, Jesus' blood has paid the price for that sin.
Amen.
And you stand before God righteous.
Amen.
If you have been a thief in your past, have you ever stolen anything? Ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Has feeling of guilt ever racked on you because of what you did? Are you now saved or are you not? Have you ever committed adultery in your past? Have you ever lied to somebody in your past? Have you ever forsaken God in your past? Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Do we all have a past of some kind?
Yeah.
Well, are we feeling guilty about all the things we think we've done to let God down? Or can we stand triumphant because of the cross?
Right.
This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, folks. Not that somehow I have attained perfection in my own ability, but that God Almighty has rescued me, saved me, died for me. That's how come I can love one another. Wow. Verse 21. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. If we don't feel guilty. See, what's keeping a lot of Christian people from being productive in the kingdom is they don't feel worthy.
Yeah.
We've got too many voices telling us too much that we're not worthy. Well, okay, if any one of us sat down to go through, oh, how would it be? We're going to apply for a job. And when you apply for a job, you come with a resume. And your object with your resume is to make yourself look as good as possible for the job, right? Right? Well, what have you got on your resume to go to get the job called salvation?
Well, Jesus.
That's it. Right? It's not all that other stuff. So the devil, he's be filling up the page with all the I am nots. But we have the reference, don't we? So if you feel guilty, if today you're still feeling guilty about things that have happened in the past, then you haven't cut the cord on those things. You haven't come to the cross about those things. You haven't awakened to the fact that Jesus Christ has already taken care of it.
Right. Thank you.
Now, somebody might say, well, that just sounds like you're giving license for people to go do whatever they want to do. Heavens no, Paul says. You go off and do something stupid, I can pretty much guarantee a consequence. But I choose to not go off and be stupid. And when I lack, God bless you, when I lack the power to know what I'm supposed to do, I have access to the Father.
Amen.
Do I not? Wow, this is the gospel. This is what we have to tell people, not because we're so strong and powerful, but because He is. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. And we will receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do the things that please Him. So all you engineers and formula writers, there it is. Write it down. Everybody that thinks linear, you global people can't even read that sentence, but linear people can read that sentence. Here's what you do. Is it a suggestion, a recommendation, a command? What exactly is it? You figure it out, but it's right there in the deal. We will receive what we ask because we obey and do those things that please Him. 23. And this is the commandment. We must believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. Well, what church do you go to? Are you a Protestant or a Catholic? Are you a Christian or a Buddhist? What are you? What do you believe? What's your faith system? How are you wired? Listen, folks, what's important is I believe in Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's it.
I would rather be called a follower of Jesus Christ than almost anything else.
Amen.
Back in the old days, really old days, they were called followers of the way.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great if we could go back to being called followers of the way. If we were actually following the way. This is the commandment. We must believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love one another just as He commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with Him and He with them. And we know He lives in us because the Spirit He gave us lives in us. So here's how I see the obedience thing working out. My definition of sin is, I want what I want when I want it. You good with that?
Oh, yeah.
If I'm off doing what I want, fulfilling what I want, when I want it, I can be very successful at that. That probably is not what God is speaking to me. So He will allow me to dance and do whatever I want to do off here in the I want realm until I finally figure out this isn't where I want to be. I want to be in His presence. I want to be under the spout where the glory's pouring out. So if you want to be under the spout where the glory's pouring out, if you want to be where the Shekinah glory of God is, then you've got to be where God is. Right? This is simple. It means you don't just do what you want to do. You do what He's calling you to do. You be where He is. Well, somebody said, well, He's everywhere. His Spirit is in me. Christ in me. God's Spirit. There it is. What should I do? How should I go? Who should I call? When they answer, what should I say? How should I relate? I'm sitting down in an interview. How should I? What kind of a person ought I be?
Child of God.
I am a child of God. There it is. Father, we thank You for the Word which is clear to us today. We ask Your blessing on our ears and on our hearing. Let us be those that hear what the Lord has to say. We pray, giving thanks today in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you, church. Good to be together. We have fellowship. You got several visitors to say hello to. Say goodbye to Judy. Say hello to Marina. Say hi to our visitors. Lars, good to see you, man.